I'm Melissa.
And I'm Mel.
Girl, let me tell you, I only had maybe a little less than half of that drink.
When you're drinking, you just gotta drink more.
I have a strongly worded email.
Actually, that feels in line, though.
That is not true. That's,
no, listen. And every now and again, when somebody get out of line, you just yell, pop the trunk.
I'm the juice to her gin. Did we hit record?
Is it working? Is it on?
Welcome, everybody, to the Gin and Juice Podcast. My name is Melissa.
And my name is Mel.
And we have a brand new logo. I just decided to say that right now. It is so freaking good. I hope y'all enjoy it. Y'all actually did seem to enjoy it. It's got new colors. I actually need to change it on, I need to push it out so it changes on all of the podcast platforms. And we have picture. Are our pictures set up?
No, I text you and I meant to say that. The problem is I always have 5 million things to say to you. And then when I get in front of you, I forget. Like, we forgot to thank our sponsors of this podcast, which are BetterHelp and CareOf. And we're going to talk about them.
We will. I literally told Courtney that this morning. Over this weekend, I was like, don't forget to tell Courtney this. Don't forget to call Courtney this. Don't forget. And then she sat in front of me and I was like, girl.
What are the things?
I don't know why I cannot remember any of the things I said I needed to remember to tell you.
I text you.
You know what?
Tell you
my problem.
She asked for other days, and then
you did.
You didn't respond. So then I was like, okay, I need to call her and ask her about this. And then I didn't.
Okay, I'm about to email myself right now. Pictures for GJ. So yeah, we're gonna be doing that. But the little logo is so freaking cute.
It is.
I'm very excited about it. When once we get our actually, we got a couple graphic designers that came through sent stuff to Catherine. There was like two specific ones that I was like really excited about, and I just need to reach out to them. I'm going to move on because my to-do list suddenly just got longer, and I already have like 50 emails I need to answer, so we're moving on. All right, so we're going to start with, did I introduce us? My name's Melissa. This is my sister, Melanie. We're real life sisters. We get on this podcast every single week. We talk about what the heck we want to talk about, okay? And we often start with long story short. We just kind of catch you up on some of the things that happen over the course of the week. What happened with your week?
Well, before we get into that, I just want to do this ad only because it's very appropriate for what we were just talking about.
Okay.
We were talking about gut health and feeling good and feeling great and all of that. And one of our sponsors for today's podcast is CareOf, which we are very excited to be partnering with. CareOf is a health and wellness company that ships high quality personalized vitamins, supplements, and powders conveniently to your door every month. Simple acts lead to the biggest difference in your health. That's kind of what we were saying. When you make changes, amen, then you can start to see results. Routines don't have to be complicated to be effective. This spring, CareOf is making it easier than ever to stick to a consistent routine so you can actually see results. CareOf's daily vitamin packs are made with plant-based compostable film to help limit the impact on the environment without compromising on the quality and safety of their products. So I have CareOf. I love CareOf. One of the things that I get the vitamins for is for sleep, number one, which is like very effective. I feel like every single time I get a new CareOf packet, I'd be like, here you go. I'm going to be having great sleep again. Because otherwise I just like, it's hard for me to settle. Mm-hmm. And so what comes into these very easy packets, and then they give you sometimes the little extra stuff too, like on the side, that like stuff for you to have on the go. So it's always very, very easy to keep up with that kind of stuff. I also do like vitamins for like hair, nails and skin. That's the other one. Which you always intend to do things like that for yourself. Like, I want to start taking my vitamins, right? Mm-hmm. But then it's like just easy to kind of get on the train and actually start. Mm-hmm. But CareOf obviously comes in these very easy little packets. You just take it and go. You don't have to think about it and parse them out and go to the store and figure, should I get E oil, F oil, B oil? What's the oils? All of that is taken away because they just deliver it ready to go for you. And so it just makes it really, really easy. So for 50% off of your first CareOf subscription order, go to takecareof.com and enter code GJ50.
GJ50.
All right. That is 50% off of your first CareOf subscription order. Go to takecareof.com and enter code GJ50.
GJ50.
All right. So I am going to talk about the week that I had. Okay. First of all, there is a child in McKinley School who has a history in that class of being very disruptive, okay? And so every day McKinley comes home with a new story about this child. I have spoken to the teacher, spoken to all the people. Right before spring break, this child, the day before, he like threw like a laptop or something. And so that was obviously concerning. And then the next day, a window was broken at the school by the child. And so, of course, everybody is, you know, whatever would happen. McKinley comes home, tell us the principal sends a letter, whatever. One of McKinley's friends, mm-hmm. her mother and I have, we have a, you know, good little friendly relationship. The kids have done play dates, whatever. So she texts me. Okay. It's April in LA, but it's been cold and rainy.
Freezing.
It's been ugly outside. So she texts me after the incident and was like, hey, Mel, a lot of us parents are going to go up to the district tomorrow because we have all these concerns about this child in this class. And I was like, yeah, girl, let's do it. Because why are laptops being thrown and windows being broken?
And this tell them crazy. Too, they have to evacuate. Tell the whole story.
They constantly have to evacuate. So in the classroom, when this child, the child has two aides with him at all times, mm-hmm. To like help. And so he is able to overpower these aides. And so what happens is he will have like these outbursts. There's obviously like some other issues that are happening. Mm-hmm. And this kind of classroom is just not conducive for his behavior. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes disruptive to the other kids. And so what happens is that when he is having these outbursts, they have to evacuate the children. There's like a door that goes to the other classroom. So they're constantly disrupting math or science or English and sending the kids to this other classroom. So McKinley, the first time it happened, she was like, we had to evacuate. And I was like, evacuate? What? That is a frightening word in the context that of America and mm-hmm. schools. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't send the letter to the principal. I didn't talk. Greg didn't went up there and showed his ass at the office. This has been an ongoing issue. And so all of that to say, it was a buildup. It has been going on. And so it mm-hmm. was a buildup. The Christmas program was a shit show mm-hmm. because this boy was like, he got out of the line for the Christmas program, went to the front and was just like standing there. He was like screaming, like very, very like, oh my gosh. So whatever. And of course, anyway, as a parent, you can only understand, you can only imagine yeah. how it feels to be that parent, you right. know, and there's sympathy. A lot. Yeah. It's a lot of sympathy. And you're like, oh my gosh, like I can't even imagine. Yeah. But you also have to weigh that with like, my child is in school, mm-hmm. and if this is a violent situation, if he's destructive, like I have concerns to the point I told the principal, something has to be done, or if I have to be concerned about my child's safety, she will either leave that classroom or she will leave your school.
Yeah.
Those are the options. Yeah. So anyway, all of that to say, this happens, the window is broken, the kids in that classroom scream, everyone is frightened, and so this parent is like, we're gonna go to the district tomorrow mm-hmm. because we need to understand what is going to be done.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what's the weather tomorrow? wait, it's rainy. It's cold.
It's been like 50 degrees.
And then she was like, we're going to meet at 8. And I was like, are we going to leave the house at 8? Or are you going to be at the district at 8? Is there a meeting? Hold on, wait, are you guys just gonna go up there with signs and protest? Or is there an auditorium that with seats?
Do we have an appointment where we're gonna meet someone?
What is the plan?
Are we hoping to get attention?
What is the plan? What is the plan? And so she was like, well, I'm gonna be there at 8, but I'll let you know what some of the other parents are gonna do. And I was like, do you have an email address for the person that you guys are gonna speak to? I'm gonna Google who the district person is, just district representative that we should talk to because it's cold. It's cold and it's rainy. Listen, I want y'all to know I was like, yeah, question. Mm-hmm. I got questions. Girl, listen, the commitment I had waned real quick. So then I just was like, okay, well, let me know what the other parents say. And then around So they get out of school earlier than 3. Okay. So we're having this conversation. She probably texts me a little after 3 because we pick the kids up. McKinley is the first thing she says every time she comes home. I want you to know around, I could probably find it. Okay. It was probably 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Around, see this, I'm pissed already. I am pissed because it was, let's see. Okay, 8:30 p.m. Hello on a text thread of all the parents
and who
in McKinley's class. Okay,
And the teacher.
There, this, it's like 30 of us on here, okay? It's all parents. Somebody gonna text at 8:30 on a school night, okay? The parent gonna text, hey teacher, I was made aware of the incident at school today, wondering if you can provide some additional details. The principal's email left me feeling uneasy. And then they text from 8:30 until midnight.
Oh, that late?
I kid you not. Of people just, and let me tell you, you know how, like, not knowing, I love Beyonce, right? I love her a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm happy she's private because I don't want to know too much.
Yeah.
It's going to take the, I don't want to know too much. One of these parents was like, I want to know the kid's diagnosis. You know what?
You can't know there are that.
We should have boundaries.
You can't know that.
We shouldn't be on a text thread together because all of a sudden, I know too much about you. Why do you think that you
deserve to know
the medical diagnosis?
At midnight
of another child.
Yeah.
And then they're like, somebody literally, and I kid you not, us normal people. That's when I tapped out. I said, get me off this chain.
Oh no.
Get me off this chain. Where have we gone? this is the problem.
This is exactly the problem.
And the teacher is on there. So then one of the parents goes, we should all boycott and not send our kids to school tomorrow. And I'm like, the teacher's on here, y'all. Is this okay? Can we do this? I don't really know. The teacher's just not saying anything.
Teacher said, I'm out. My name is Bennett and I'm not in it.
So then everybody's like, please let's get a count if you're going to not take your kid to school tomorrow. So I was like, McKinley's not going. That's the only thing I said. McKinley's not going. And I won't be at the district tomorrow because I'll only be.
And I won't be at that either.
So what happened is somebody in the chain was like, if y'all want to send an email, here's the email. And I was like, ha. That's what I needed.
I'll be emailing.
I won't be present. So anyway, we wake up the next morning. There's still more texts. They're still going. It turns out that the parent of the child ends up withdrawing her student from the school totally. So the student is no longer even a student there. And one of the parents was like, oh, thank you. We're so happy our kids can be safe. And then the teacher liked it. And I was like,
because what do you do? This is such an awkward position because you want your children to be safe,
absolutely,
right? Obviously, you don't want any child in the classroom to be hurt. And then I also understand, you know, the parent of the child where you're like, I just want my child to have, like, you know, I don't know the right word, so I'm doing this because someone called it the normal experience. Yeah. So it's like, what do you, and as a teacher, you're kind of like, I don't really know what to do. And like, that comment was inappropriate and this is inappropriate, but I also understand why these parents are mad. Like, I don't work in education, so I'm not even going to pretend to understand what the right decision is.
Yeah.
But I understand that there are a lot of variables and a lot of feelings to consider. And what the right answer is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, you're almost grateful that the parent decided to withdraw.
Yeah.
They probably felt the spotlight on them.
That's what makes it so challenging is, like, again, I can only imagine that parent dealing with that child.
Oh, someone said, was the parent in the chat? They couldn't
have
been.
No, the parent wasn't in the chat. But I can only imagine, I don't know why that is the case, but
typical.
The parents,
thank you, Cheryl. Cheryl said typical versus normal. Thank you.
Typical.
That's a good word.
But yeah, it's like, I can only imagine how that parent, like, that's gotta be a struggle. Not to mention that we heard that the last school that the child was in, that child also got removed from that school or that was taken out. So whatever. I can only imagine. I am not saying that I don't have sympathy for that and can't imagine that that is tough. Okay. As the parent of my child, I also have my own concerns about her safety, right, and making sure he had pushed McKinley down at the playground.
Right.
And so, of course, I have my own concerns. My entire point, and I don't want that to be confused or lost in the sharing of this story, because the story is not to point the finger or demonize or any of that, right, to the child or the parent.
Right.
Because obviously there seems to be something going on that, right, has to be addressed. That's not the point of the story. The point actually is that my activism stops at rain. Okay. It stops at rain and bad weather. That's number one. And number two, I don't want to be on a text chat.
No, yeah, they got to stop the
parents
chat. They got to stop
anybody else in McKinley school. Yeah, the whole school.
The group chat got to stop.
Yeah. I thought with the teacher. I thought this was about the PTA meeting.
Right.
Apparently, it's about how inappropriate,
right,
and heartless you people are.
Yeah.
That's what happened here.
Yeah.
Get me out.
Yeah.
I don't want it anymore.
And I know the teacher was probably like, I want to withdraw. They probably got Androids in there. Otherwise, remove me from chat.
Oh my gosh. Remove the thing is, all of the numbers are just numbers in my phone.
Oh, so you don't even know who
I don't
is
even
who.
Know who. There was one, two. There are two parents whose numbers I have saved. So when they responded, I was like, oh, that's her mama. Oh, that's her mama. I don't know them people. Yeah. I don't talk to them people. Yeah. McKinley don't. I don't. We don't. I'm not that parent. I wish I was. I wish I was a little more active. I don't. I'd be at home watching trials. I ain't got time to be up at the school. Okay.
Yeah.
Unless you are pushing my baby down. Now we got to have a conversation. So anyway, it was.
It's a sticky situation one way or the other. But we want to make that clear. Thank you, Cheryl, for the right word. Typical. You want your child to have a typical, experience in childhood and education and all of that, and balancing all of that, I can only imagine.
Girl.
And also, correct.
If it's raining,
if it's
I'm not
raining,
coming.
I'm out.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry about that, but I'm out. I don't have a long story short. We went to WrestleMania. If you listen to The Bold and the Beautiful, that's really it. We had a freaking fantastic time. We went to both nights. It was so much fun. You guys know that I was a wrestling fan in like my preteen years. The whole thing was really exciting. Me and Kev are very fair weather wrestler fans. Hilarious. At this day and age, because we just don't follow it as much as we should. We kind of just have Isaiah give us a lowdown wrestling. So we understand who is who are the players and what's at stake. And obviously we went last year. So we knew Cody Rhodes was like, quote unquote, robbed last year. Last year was his year to get it. So obviously we knew he was going to get it this year, but it was still really emotional watching him get it.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that aside, cause I do love Roman Reigns. Like, I understand he's a heel, but he's beloved. Okay. I just adore this man. I think he's so good. Also, he had like leukemia. He overcame like a bout with leukemia before. And so
I'm like, yes, you're a fighter.
Please give me more. And his whole bloodline thing. And they have like, a lot of lineage in wrestling. It just is my favorite thing. So anyway, they're all fighting, and it's like literally the moment before Cody wins and overtakes essentially Roman Reigns. And they do this like chaotic melee of people that come out. And so The Rock comes out, fights for a little while, and then the lights cut out and you hear the gong or the bang, whatever it is, and it's The Undertaker.
Oh, nice.
I could not contain myself. Like The Undertaker is from my generation. Like, I obviously remember The Rock. Obviously, I remember Stone Cold Steve Austin. But growing up, watching wrestling, The Undertaker was there. He was there. The Rock entered the scene. Stone Cold entered the scene. There wasn't a time in my memory as a fan of wrestling as a child or preteen that The Undertaker wasn't there. I didn't watch him enter into wrestling. Like, he was always there.
Yeah.
So having him come out, Lord have mercy. We were
screaming.
Okay. Screaming. Watching The Rock fight. Of course, that's always just exciting because I was there for The Rock. And then what's the man that wear the jorts? What's the man, Kev?
Stone Cold.
No. That wear the jorts from the kids era.
Oh, I don't know.
what's the man that wear the shorts and the jeans? Kev. He must got his ears on. Y'all know who I'm talking about?
I don't know.
You do. He fought last night. He came out. He got the hair.
I'm trying to see if somebody going to say it in this chat because I have no idea.
Cena.
Oh, John Cena. Oh.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Which this is so corny to me. Yeah,
I don't know. You said I got you after she said it.
Yeah, John Cena.
I know John Cena. I don't know. I didn't put the shorts on.
Oh, he wears shorts.
He's always worn
shorts. Yeah, he wears jean shorts, which I think is so weird. Yes, it's so funny. So the other thing me and Kev noticed also is the black wrestlers don't wear the panties. They always wear pants, except for The Rock.
That's hilarious.
Oh, the leotard?
We call them panties. I don't know what they're called. The Speedos.
The Speedo. Well. I know the
Speedos. Yes. Only The Rock wears the Speedos, though. Most of the other black wrestlers wear pants or shorts. I just find that funny.
It is interesting.
Yeah, right? I just find it really interesting that they don't.
They're not subscribed to that.
Yeah, they're not subscribed to the panties. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. So anyway, it was a great time. Okay, we've decided to make this an annual trip that we will go to WrestleMania.
Nice.
It is so
That's fun.
Much fun. Like, it truly, truly is a freaking good time. And to see grown people fully immerse themselves into this storyline that we all know is fake. Like, they do press conferences now.
Oh.
As themselves.
Oh.
Not the character.
Why?
I don't know. It's so weird. Because I remember when we were kids, I wasn't sure that it was fake.
I
thought it was real.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was a little bit bizarre for me, actually, to like have them take us behind and kind of, you know, responsibility of having this.
What is the context? That's what the context is?
Yes. Like, they talk about the storyline. They talk about, you know.
That's probably some as a result of bad PR, as a result of probably some problematic things that happened before.
Oh, maybe.
And needing to make sure people are aware that it is fake and that. There was probably some separation that was
needed to happen. Mm-hmm. It's very strange. It's very, very strange. So anyway, it was a ton of fun. The boys had a good time.
Nice.
We had a good time. And it is definitely something I would commit to doing on an annual basis because it is just freaking, just fun. It's
time.
Just a lot of fun. All right, moving on.
Well, I had one thing to say.
Go for it.
That crossed my mind and happened to me recently, and I just was curious if you do this. When you have a wedding coming up, when
I
should you have
did a whole long story short on that,
have events and people buy gifts for you in large amounts, like a birthday party, like a baby shower, things like that. Do you send thank you cards afterward and specify the gift that they gave you and say thank you for this blah blah blah? So do you do that? Have you ever done that?
I thought it was only customary for weddings. I've never done it for anything else.
You did it for your wedding?
I did do it for my wedding. And baby showers.
And baby showers.
Weddings and baby showers. Those are the only events. I'm trying to make sure.
Did you do it for your baby
shower? And I did it for baby shower. Oh. That was it.
Graduation?
I didn't do it for my graduation. I probably would for the boys' graduation. Let me not commit.
Are you going to do it for your wedding?
No, I don't want y'all to bring me nothing.
Amen.
Yeah, don't y'all paid your money to get here. I don't need nothing.
I have never done it. And every time I get a card from somebody, I feel attacked. I feel personally attacked. I feel like they're doing it like,
you're not going to do
it. Here's your thank you because I gave you a gift and you never gave it back. You never gave me one of these.
You didn't do one even for your baby shower?
I never did those.
Are you serious?
Let me tell you, in my mind, why? Y'all should save your money. And your time and your finger and your hand and your pen. Save the effort. It is the same as like, I've literally never done it. I've never ever sent it. Not for my wedding, not a baby, never, okay?
That's so funny.
But in my mind, it is the same as that thing that they tell you to do after you do an interview. You should like send a thank you to the recruiter.
Oh, the follow-up? Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. That's stupid.
I agree with that.
That's stupid. This is all.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's a waste of time.
No, it is a waste of time.
What do you do with cards when you get them?
I save them, though. If it's handwritten, I save them. I have some from Daddy. I have some from Mom, some from Kev, some from the boys. Like, I do save it. Mail's out. You're not sentimental that way. But let me tell you what I more I make it analogous to.
That's it.
People that send Christmas cards.
Yes.
That's when I feel attacked.
Oh.
When people send me photo Christmas cards, yes. That's when I'm like, oh, yes, please remind me I'm a terrible person. Like, please remind me I'm a terrible mom and a terrible wife and a terrible woman in the world because I didn't send you Merry Christmas from the Frederick. Yes. Happy holidays. Hope your year is blessed and the Lord blesses and everything is great. Oh, amen. God. The Fredericks.
Here's Monty.
Yes.
Listen, there is a person that I love, an older black gentleman who I love. And every Christmas since I've met him, he sends me a Christmas card as well as a typed up letter.
That's sweet.
That has updates for everyone in his family. He'll say, here's what I've been up to for the last year. Here's what my wife has been up to.
I love it, though.
Here's my son. Here's what my daughter. And I'd be like, this is so kind.
You read the whole thing?
Every time I read it, I'd be like, this is so
I would
never absolutely ever, 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 never do. You should check my Instagram if you want to know how my year went.
Oh, I can't wait to become that person. I want to do it. We have a friend from, I actually invited her to the wedding, but they got married the same year as us. So they're celebrating their 20th as well. They send us a card every year, almost just like that. And it's never like Christmas card. It's always like candid, like they went to Hawaii or something, like whatever they were doing for the year.
Yeah.
She'll do that and she'll be like, you know, daughter's name, 9, son's name, 12, you know, her, him, you know, husband, wife, whatever. And I find it to be the sweetest thing. I wanted to do this video at the beginning of the year. You guys know I have so many ideas that I never do. And I wanted to ask people, when is the appropriate time? Like, when do you throw his card away?
Who?
The guy that sends you the Christmas card. When is the appropriate time to throw people's Christmas cards in the trash? When I tell you I feel so bad for doing it, you do it the same day?
When I get to the period at the end of the letter.
No! No! No!
Because why? Listen, space is limited. Houses are small. We live in LA. I got 2 kids. Honestly, McKinley, listen, McKinley comes home with a drawing every day. Everything can go in the trash. If I'm throwing away her picture that she drew me, that she's so proud of, if that can be trash, all y'all cards can go in the trash. My recommendation is stop sending me cards.
Hello?
Except Dawn. Dawn, if you're listening, I love your family Christmas cards.
Oh, she sends them?
She sends them, and they're one of my favorite things. Everybody else stop.
Oh, that is so hilarious.
I just don't have the space. I don't like, and
you
I
can
don't,
do a, although I do agree on space.
You gonna get a box and then what? You gonna do with the box?
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Take up space in a closet I don't have. I am begging for storage right now in my house.
No,
I don't have the space.
So do you keep stuff from when you and Greg dated? Do you have stuff from like high school, when you guys dated? I mean, you guys didn't date during school years though, but.
I mean, in college years, that's why I said I have some cards from him, but like, I want to throw those away.
No, you got to keep them. The only thing that I hate is the thought that I keep stuff like that. And then when I pass on, the boys being like, if y'all take this trash. And that stresses me because these things mean something to me. I bought the boys those books and I wrote in them like, Isaiah, I love you so much. You're such a creative genius. Yeah. Da, 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 da. Love mom. They were just like, okay, girl.
See? Listen, that's not the things that are, feel very sentimental to me.
What are your sentimental things?
Money and gifts.
I hate you.
Amen, amen. Oh. No, I just, there.
Your like, love language is gifts though.
It is gifts.
Yeah,
and
Mel's
it's
love
always
language
been
is gifts.
So yeah. Like, those are the things I will like, remember when we, or experience trips. Like, remember when we went to Jamaica that time? Ew, that was fun. But like, not this card. Like, no. I mean, like,
every time we go, we went to Vegas. Whenever we went last time, me, Mel, Greg, and Kev, and we had a nice dinner, and the guy was like, do you guys want to take pictures? I was like, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I want to take the picture. Everyone stand up. Let's take this picture. Yes, here's my $45 for 2 pictures.
But I don't mind a picture. I wouldn't mind a digital picture.
I want the printout.
No, I wouldn't mind a digital picture because when I look at that kind of stuff, I get all of the memory and emotion from it. But I just, cards just don't land like that on me. Like, they just don't. And
it actually feels like it takes up a lot of space that I don't have. So I just prefer to take a picture in that moment. And like, this is probably a left turn, but it's fine. I remember going to, I forgot which Beyonce concert it was, but I remember going to a concert. I think she does this actually. She has done this at more concerts that I've attended. But early on a concert of her walking on the stage and everybody was screaming and she literally like closed her eyes and did this deep like inhale and exhale and was like, I just want to remember this moment. And so a lot of time, I don't know why I've always remembered that, but a lot of times when I am experiencing something, like when people are always like in the moment or you need to be present, get off social media. If I am experiencing something that I do want to remember, I try to take a moment of like, remember how this feels. Remember how this,
good,
like, remember everything about that's this good. Moment so that in years later, I can look at a picture and remember and how it. Things felt mm-hmm. and smelled and like what mentally space we were in. And like, I do try to take those moments, but that lives for me in that way and not a card. The end.
You know what? Everybody does. You do experience memories differently. Differently. Do you have clothing that you hold on to?
I think I used to, and then I detached myself from that because space.
No, I agree. So my problem is I do have very limited space, but I do have like, you know, this is so silly, but it's the first thing that I bought as a Husky in college. And so it's like this purple sweatshirt. I still can fit it. Like I wear it actually every now and again. And I cannot convince myself to throw it away. I have a Lakes lamp. We went to Lakes High School in Washington State. And it's my track shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot.
Get rid of it?
I can't get rid of it.
Oh.
I can't get rid of it. I have so much. I don't want to call it crap because to me, I don't consider it crap, but really it is crap. Just stuff. I have like a bin and it's like cards from high school, my yearbook. Mm-hmm. I even my senior year, I actually wanted to make a point of like trying to capture the entire school year. So in my calendar, I would write stuff in there and I still have it to this day. Goodness. And so it literally says something silly like hair appointment or church or whatever. And it's just for me to remember. Uh-oh, Kev, Melissa Morton's calling me. Can you call her? And you might want to step out. But it is stuff like that I'm like, those are things that I hold on to. Mm. I can't let stuff like that go. And anyway, I don't want to go that way because I will start getting morbid and sad.
Oh, somebody said y'all moved a lot as kids. And this is the other thing that I think why I probably have this mentality is that we grew up as military brats, military children. My dad was in the military. We literally moved every single 3 years.
Every 3 years.
And so early on for me, I don't know if I learned or taught myself to detach because I can remember specifically when we left Hawaii, I remember feeling so sad. Like I have these friends, it was mm-hmm. our neighbors. Mm-hmm. We had grown so close to these people and then we just left and it was like,
and you do just leave.
And there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing. No like fighting, crying, nothing. Like let us stay here. It's just like, it's time to go.
Yep.
You can cry on the plane and then you land, right? And then you have to make new friends. You have to start a new school.
Yep.
And that's just what it is. And so again, I don't know if I learned it or taught it to myself in order to deal with the constant moving, and it's constant, but like every 3 years, right? So it's not like every month. I know people who, you know, have a different situation, but for me, it was like, in order to deal with this, you cannot be so attached to really anything because you'll go and then what? So anyway.
It is true. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We are so excited to be partnering with them on this episode. And one of the things that we're talking about, how I dealt with having to move every 3 years and what lessons or things I taught myself. But one of the things that can help you when you are trying to work through, learn through something is therapy. And that's why we are, again, excited to be partnering with BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained, bursting with energy? You know, what's really funny is I, again, was having this thought the other day that I am very much, have always been a people person, always been a bit of an extrovert, love, like I get energized from being with people. I love to have a good time, laugh, like I go home feeling great. This current space in my life, too much interaction is recently, I feel like, has been draining me. It's been this interesting thing. Literally, I was just having this conversation with myself, and maybe I should go to therapy about it. But it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself really thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. It's getting warm outside. Everybody wants to be out, mingle, all of that. And figuring out what's the right amount of socializing for you. How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Like I said, I feel like I have always done, but maybe you need some alone time. And that's what I feel like maybe I do need. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So I'm talking about this new area in which I probably would benefit from seeking some therapy. But previously I've, you know, gone to therapy and experienced a lot of learnings, I would say, about myself. I had some amazing therapy when I was trying to work through some, what is it called when you psych yourself up to think you're
imposter syndrome.
Being able to talk to somebody about that has been like was really, really just impactful for me and helpful for me. And I was able to really see the growth of my mental state when it comes to that. Anyway, that's a long way of saying that if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GJ today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GJ.
GJ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just going to quickly circle back to that before we get to.
That's good because I wanted to too.
Literally, I've been like, oh my gosh, I love people. But recently, I think because at this point, there's so many touch points to me, I get like overwhelmed from texts to email, to DMs on TikTok, to DMs on Instagram, to DMs on Facebook, to people calling me, to the teacher-parent chat I was on with 30 people, all the group chats. I literally have been like, I don't want nobody to say nothing to me. I am stressed out. This is too, it's overload. It's really been feeling like overload, which is like anti who I typically am. Mm-hmm. So trying to understand why does this feel so draining has been like an interesting process for me.
I definitely think that we do have access to people much faster and easier than before, where I felt like before you could, there was time to, I don't want to say isolate because I don't mean that as like a negative, but like you did have like certain alone time.
Yeah.
But I feel like now people do have a lot of entry points to you and it's quick.
And it's quick.
And so that I know I already get very, I didn't think it was a real thing. And then one of our friends actually said this and I was like, oh my God, I really think text especially can very much overwhelm me.
Yes.
And I get like almost anxious about opening them. And then email.
Yes.
Oh, and I get in a mode where I'm like, oh, I can be active on DMs. And then I respond. And then suddenly I'm like, this is too much. I don't know what happened, but now like suddenly this is like, I can't manage. And being like, especially now that you're a social creator, a content creator.
Yes.
Managing all these different platforms.
Oh my goodness.
And then also having regular life, which includes phone calls, which includes text messages, which includes email. It's like, is there a point where I can turn my brain off?
Yes.
And when you can't,
it is.
It's overwhelming.
Absolutely. I just turned all the DMs off on TikTok because I was getting just inundated with like messages of people saying do this or you didn't do this right or here's a case. And like at first, and typically that's great, I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you for sending, yes, yes, yes. But it's that. And now I'm like, oh, let me make sure I post on all the platforms. So now it's like the comments on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then it's also the comments on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And the, and again, my nature is respond because that brings me joy. But now it's all of that, to your point, with regular interactions, mm-hmm. with, we have a gazillion group chats.
1 million.
So many. And I'd be like, I just off, turn it off.
Yeah.
So trying to figure out, and I'm also figuring out, this is going to make me sound like an old person, but like so much of it is virtual interactions and not in-person mm-hmm. interactions. And I actually get energized from in-person interactions. And this type of interaction has been more draining. But like, I love a game night.
Yeah.
I love a like, yeah. oh, we're going to go to dinner and just like be. That like brings me the best kind of joy.
Yeah.
But like these other ones, I think maybe I expected myself to really, you know, thrive off yeah. of that stuff. But it's actually, I've just been feeling very drained and trying to figure out, how do you balance this? How do you interact yeah. with who you want to and like be the kind of creator that you want to be, but also don't get overwhelmed by
and it can lead to burnout.
And
like that's one of the fastest. And I do think there is a balance, right? Like one of the things that I literally was having this conversation with myself this weekend. And I was like, oh, sometimes what happens with comments is like people are like, oh, I would love to hear this from you or whatever. In my mind, it will quickly go from like, oh, good, Melissa, this is your reminder. Like people want to hear from you. It's okay to show up. Like people want to do, to pressure.
Uh-huh.
Immediately, yeah, yeah. I feel this like mandate to show up. And I'm like, yeah. what if I don't want to disappoint people?
Yeah,
what
yeah.
if it's not good? Oh, what if yeah. it's not that? What if it's a, then it's like, what was once like, oh, I just would love to hear your opinion on this, suddenly becomes this internalized demand. It yeah. turns into a demand for me. Not that people are demanding, like,
yeah, totally,
hear what I say. I don't
totally.
Want people to like feel yes. like you have to like
yes, yes.
walk on eggshells
yes,
in my DMs.
No,
like,
not what I'm
it's
saying.
Not that, right?
Yeah.
It's literally a like go to therapy thing
yeah.
because it's like internally it becomes this demand
yeah.
and this internal pressure to, for me, it's always perfection.
Yeah.
And one of the things I realized too is because perfection is a thing for me,
mm-hmm.
when I don't hit that mark, the internal turmoil
yeah.
that I put myself through about having this, that I put one day on my Instagram story, actually. Why am I chasing perfection when I know it's not real?
Hello?
Is that the definition of insanity?
Oh.
Because what are you doing with your life?
Oh.
If I can tell you perfection is not real,
yes.
the reason it's evasive is because you'll never find it. And yet I will sit with my therapist and she'll be like, you know, what was going on? Well, I just didn't think it was good enough. Why? So there's this thing called perfection, right? And so if perfection is here, what I had did was here. So you see that gap? That's where I didn't meet it. Mm-hmm. That gap is called not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, what is going on? I don't know what to tell you. I'm just telling you that's how I think.
Yes.
And it happens to me. And it's almost to a point of paralyzing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you will just be like, I don't know what else to do right mm-hmm. now because it's not good enough. And I know it should be good enough, but what I'm telling you that it is not. So I don't know what to do with this information except sit here. I'm just not. So what I'm gonna do right now is not do anything. And honestly, it is the journey of my social media content creation. When I'm feeling good, people are like, you're so good on camera. That's when, for whatever reason, the confidence was high.
Uh-huh.
And then the very next day,
yeah.
I will be like, that was terrible. This was wrong. Your lighting was off. Why did you look like that? Is your eye cockeyed? I think you might be cockeyed. I know I'm not cockeyed, but these are the things that go through your mind.
Yeah, yeah. Ciao.
Welcome.
I'm going to piggyback just quickly to say
go
that,
for it. We're here now. Joshua's smiling. Welcome to therapy.
Come on, better help. that only because I see a couple comments. You guys don't have to stop DMing me. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. No,
you guys
don't
have to stop DMing me. If I don't respond, I may be overwhelmed. But I'm not saying don't, because some of it like is funny and things I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And like, again, that is just a balance that of like figuring out what there's different settings too. I can say that only certain people can DM me, or what, like all of that is a me working, well, and us obviously working through how to do all of this, and still show up and be the people that we actually are.
Yes.
But like some days you just have a bad day.
You're just, I was on the phone with Mel right before we went to, or maybe it was right after, I don't remember, just fairly recent. And I literally said to Mel, oh, I'm stressed. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. When I tell you, everyone was on my nerves. I like ran through a list, and I told this person off, and I told this person off, and this person pissed me off. I didn't tell them off, but I want them to know I am mad at them. And this person, and by the way, this person over here also, okay? And I feel like I'm going through a light right now, and the person next to me is looking at me funny. They pissing me off too. Everybody was just on my nerves. Yeah. Everybody was just on my nerves. And I had to realize, it's not everybody.
Oh, man.
The common denominator is you.
You
are stressed.
Oh, man.
You are on edge. And because of that, you're sensitive. And when you're sensitive, everybody get on your nerves. Yeah. And so that's what was happening. Everybody was on my nerves. And that is like, my therapist actually just told me this the other day. We were having a conversation about loneliness. And I was having this revelation. We're going to get to pop the trunk. I'm just going to finish this and we can round it out. I was having this revelation that sometimes loneliness for me is a loneliness of emotion and not a loneliness of people.
Oh, say more.
Okay. So I've said this for a long time. LA is very lonely,
right? It is.
We're constantly surrounded by people, like all the time. There's tons of people here. And I realize I have yet to find the safe space for my emotions.
Got it. Yeah.
And when you have emotions that you can't release, discuss, talk about, I don't know the right word, I'm fishing for it right now, but when you can't like pour your emotion, like a very vulnerable state of your emotions, that can be very lonely.
Okay.
It can feel very like isolating because you don't feel like, let me talk more specifically, not you, right? I'm talking about me. I can feel like I'm not fully showing up as me because there's a part of me I constantly have to hide.
Okay.
There's this vulnerable, emotional, sad piece of me that I don't feel like I can show people. And so that's like, it's isolated. It feels isolated. It feels lonely. And so I was I realize I think that's what the loneliness is. It's not a lonely, because I was telling her, I think I said it on the podcast. At the beginning of the year, I was like, I don't know if I said it on the podcast. Maybe I didn't. I may have just told you and Kiv. Anyway, I'm about to tell you. That at the beginning of the year, I was like, I'm going to be more intentional about like cultivating friendships that are not. I did say it on the podcast. Okay. Cultivating friendships that are not like work related, right? Done a few things. They've been really cool, whatever. And I was like, literally, I don't think that's it. I don't think this is actually what I'm searching for. There's a little bit of it.
Oh.
I do think some of it is that.
Yeah.
But the whole of what I'm looking for cannot be found in these social interactions. I desire an interaction that allows me to be more transparent.
Got it.
That's all I have to say on that.
Okay.
What is your question?
I don't know. That was good though.
Right?
Yeah.
She was like, my therapist, I love her. She was like, Melissa, you're so in tune with yourself.
You are. You are.
I said, thank you. I'm looking for my water. I said, thank you. She was like, no, you really are. Like the way that you're able to like walk yourself through kind of, I always feel like it takes me forever to get there. That's like my own personal frustration with myself. Is I'll be like, not immediately, but once I get to a point where I'm like, that's not what I thought it was. I started down this path because I was searching for this answer, and now I realize this, it's not going to get me to where the answer I was looking for.
Yeah.
But it takes me a while to realize, this is what it is. And that is frustrating to me. I kind of wish it came a little bit faster for me. I get there. It just, sometimes it'd be very slow.
Most people don't get there.
Hello? Hello?
That's why the self-awareness is always so amazing, because you're not only aware enough to identify what it is you think you want, even if you later realize that's not the thing, that wasn't it, mm-hmm. you're even aware enough to start that process.
Yeah, yeah.
And then aware enough to pivot.
Yeah.
Once you recognize that ain't it. We be at the, I'm still mad at everybody. Oh, you mean to tell me it is stress? Oh, well, I'm still mad. Maybe it's stress, but also I'm still mad at everybody that pissed me off today.
I'll still be mad too.
So it is, anyway, so that's a, the fact that you recognize and have come to this realization that like it's this type of interaction that you are desiring. I don't know where do you get it?
I don't know. That's the next part of this journey. I think the next part of this journey being revelation is trying to figure out where I get that. Obviously, you have a therapist, right? And she's there for that. But I also feel like I need a person outside of that.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to. We're here now. Okay. I'm so sorry if you're usually here for the kiki. I'm so sorry if you're usually here for the kiki, but sometimes you get an episode. Sometimes. We've done probably two or three of these type of like deeper episodes. And so welcome to the third one. The other struggle that I personally have is finding people who can see me as Melissa Fredericks. Mm. And not as Miss Kev on stage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes, and I will own, right? This is the part that's on me. I will own that sometimes I'm skeptical of how people will see me. Mm. That I will pull back.
Yeah.
That I will own. But the reality is for a lot of people, I'm an into Kev.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Typically.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. So even when people are talking to, we just had a conversation with somebody the other day. Mind you, it was a story between me and the person. I'm talking to you. Kev's sitting like where you are. Somehow their eyes diverted from mine.
And went
to Kev.
Oh,
I'm talking to you. And I'd be like, Kev, don't even halfway care. Kev be like, girl, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Okay? I'm just here because my wife asked me to be here. Yes! I don't want to be here. Yes! I'd rather watch anime. I'd much rather watch anime. And so I'm like, oh, got it. Mm. So you're not here. Mm. You want, and Kev don't even halfway care about you. So now this can't even be what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
this
can't
even be what I thought it was going to be because you're not even here for me.
Yeah.
And that's a real struggle. That's a real struggle. I can only imagine like true celebrities. Like we're not even.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Don't ever get it twisted. People like you're a Z-list celebrity. Girl, don't put me on A to Z. I'm not even in the alphabet of celebrity. Okay, I'm not even the alphabet, so I'm not a celebrity. Yeah. I just know a few people, and a few people know me. That's it. I'm hilarious. Just real popular. That's it.
I'm real popular.
But I can't imagine real celebrities and like the mental distress or emotional loneliness that they feel because that's real.
That is
very, very real, and it is tough. It is very tough to navigate and something I don't have the answers for. It's something I'm literally kind of like working through actively even now.
Yeah. One other thing I just want to say that it's going to go back to the self-awareness that you have. And I was being funny and saying most people don't even start and like realize, which I stand by that. But also life doesn't even always allow you to have the space to start the journey.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like for years, and a lot of people may say that this still even exists, and I don't disagree, but like, boys, right, are taught not to show their emotions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that used to predominantly exist in conversation about boys.
Yeah.
Over time, though, the reality is that has, in many ways, transferred over to women.
Yeah.
Women, even just statistically, and when you're talking about breadwinners, when you're talking about household, what they look like, what they actually look like, when you start pulling in all of that stuff, a lot of women stop showing emotions, dealing with their emotions, because they don't have time to. You want me to sit here and cry? I got to go make a check.
Yeah.
I got to get these kids up to go to school. I got to figure out what's for dinner. I don't have time to deal. So I feel like that we've become a culture, an existence in which many of us, again, don't have the self-awareness or the space or the time or even the desire to figure out
that's so real
where the blood is coming from, because I'm just trying to put another Band-Aid on it to get me to tomorrow.
Danny used to always say, running while wounded.
Girl.
She used to always say that. And I think for a lot of us, life is so busy that you don't have time to pull over, get a first aid kit, analyze what's on, bandage it up for real. Like, we don't have the time. So you do have to temporarily put a Band-Aid on or continue running, you know, in life. And there's blood dripping and you don't have the time to analyze what's going on. Like, you just don't physically have the time. That's a lot of our story. Life is busy. And don't get it twisted. People always assume or presume, or I shouldn't even say that. It's not even that. Sometimes it's just that people on social media be perpetuating it, and it's a lie. Okay. They like to tell you that entrepreneurship brings all of this flexibility and time is the most important thing to me and I get freedom of time. You are lying.
Oh my.
Maybe at a certain point, and maybe I shouldn't say you're lying. Maybe at a certain point in life, this does bring that type of freedom. For most people that are starting their entrepreneurship journey, it's going to require more hours, more of you mentally, emotionally, physically than your 9 to 5 ever could or would. Ever could or would. Kev asked me the other day, what job did you have that when you clocked out, you had to take work with you? And my answer was never, none. I've never had a work phone issued to me from my job. I clocked out when I worked at the bank. I clocked out and I was done. That's it. No more. Okay. When I worked at Boeing, and that was actually pretty stressful. But I still clocked out. I could bring my laptop home. That was the first job where I could bring my laptop home, but I did not have a phone. I did not have a phone. And when I got here to where we live now in LA, I had two different aerospace jobs. I did not have a laptop and I did not have a phone. I only got the laptop once I went part-time, because they low-key was trying to keep me full-time. So could you
just
do these?
Just in case you still need to work.
So just in case you have some stuff you can still do for us, even though I know we talked about going part-time. But that was it. I never had, when I clocked out and left, y'all can forget I exist. And you can remember me again at 8 o'clock on Monday morning.
When I'm back.
When I'm back. And that's it. That's all.
I had that experience at Cartoon Network. After that, though, that has never been my experience. And actually, I just said the other day, I just said this. The best thing that I learned from Netflix is why I am able to do what I'm doing now as an entrepreneur. Because you weren't allowed to turn off. Like, and I mean, before Netflix was CNN. And I don't know if you guys know, but the news doesn't stop. Okay. The first, very first 24-hour news network is where I actually happened to work. And so that was the first, that transition from Cartoon to CNN was the first time where it was like, oh, y'all want me to be on all the time?
All the time.
And then when I got to Netflix, it was like, there's no off. I don't, we tell you that you have unlimited PTO because you actually will never be off. So good luck taking it. But it was like that, and that, you want to talk about transferable skill. What I learned there is why I will watch a trial all day, 8 hours, make dinner, get the kids ready, take baths, and then make sure a video comes out that night. Like, it is because of Netflix. Yeah, like
trading.
I learned that. And so I was just saying that so much of this feels like Netflix. I'm not saying that's a good thing. Okay, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Because burnout is real.
I'm just saying that there are a lot of similarities that I have been like, oh, girl, you got to get this under control. Like, what is the next step? Like, what is, it's like, to your point, when you're an entrepreneur, that beginning part, you don't have time. You're going. You are going, going. At some point, you have to figure out scale. You got to figure out, how do you make this last? How do you grow? How do you do whatever? And that may require some pivots and some changes and some whatever. But, like, the beginning part is busting your ass. Okay. I'm sleepy. But
and content creation is that. It is. It's constant.
Yeah.
Last thing I will say is, Kevin and I were just talking. Actually, we're trying to well, you guys will know this now. I'm trying to put together like an employee handbook of sorts.
Oh, yeah.
So we have some, you know, some things that we have for the people that work for us. And we were talking about one of the things that one of the things that I want to implement as a culture to the company is work-life balance. Mm. Like we have decided that that is an important like tenet in our business to the point where a lot of what we do, obviously we are like blazing, and we said this too, actually, we want to understand the trails set before us, but we also want to blaze new trails. Amen. And what I mean by that is we're in Hollywood, right? We're in the business of the industry.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we have to do things the way Hollywood has done them.
Absolutely.
So we just recently hired an assistant, and she was like, she was going through this training, and she was like, I feel like, are things changing? Mm. Like, are you guys expecting me to be on 24/7? And so me and Kev were having a conversation where we were like, how do we feel about this? It. Like, what is this? Because this training isn't necessarily wrong, because in Hollywood, in the industry, if you're an assistant, you are on 24/7.
Yeah.
You don't have an off time. Your weekends are
not yours.
Not yours. Like your life mirrors the life of the person you work for, and they probably make up stuff for you to do. And so Kevin and I were like, we don't want that. Mm. Like we're making a conscious decision that work-life balance is important to us. And we understand the reason why Hollywood has assistants and work that way. I do get it. And we have decided we're going to blaze a new trail, and that is not what we're going to do because this is a tenet of our business, and this is important to us. And I think you have to, even in your own business, like Kevin and I were just talking the other day, like we go out and do things a lot, but we haven't had like a date or time together.
Yeah.
We did it actually a couple of weeks ago because we were having this conversation, but like before that, I don't know when.
Yeah.
Like the reality is, and don't, last thing, okay, for real.
It's fine.
Don't let social media, especially like couple influencers, even Kevin and I, if we're in this boat for you, I apologize, first of all, and wipe it clear of your memory. Hello? The reality is they're not going on dates every single week.
Oh my God.
They're not showing you their date outfit because they're going on a committed date every single week. You know why? Because this business is taxing and it's overwhelming and it takes all of you. And if you have children or if your spouse works, the reality is carving that time out is not always easy.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't go looking at yourself and your reflection in the mirror and your relationship and judging it against this perception, because the reality is it's not, that's not the reality. Yeah. The reality is it's not the reality.
100%.
All of us are balancing more things than you realize. Yeah. And what's put on social media isn't the whole of it.
Yeah.
That's just the reality. It's not the whole of it. People have struggles, and they're right and their prerogative not to share all of it.
Yeah.
But it's also important as consumers that we realize that we're only looking at a slice and not the whole pie.
100%.
Okay.
100%.
Mel thought she bought the slice of cake. She bought the whole cake.
I bought a whole cake. Did I say that on here?
Yes.
Okay. I bought a whole cake. I thought I was buying a piece. But wait, the other thing I was going to say that you just reminded me of is that, a lot of people, when COVID first happened and a lot of people were working from home, what a lot of people said about why they missed the office is because there was no cutoff time. When you wake up and all of a sudden you're at work,
so true.
It's hard to shut off. That is content creation.
Sure enough.
Like that can really feel like the world of being a quote unquote creator. At least for me, that's how it felt. It has felt. It felt like when you get up, you're working. Before you go to bed, there is no off. There's no turn off. And so to that point, you don't really, if you don't have a turn off, date night is you don't have time to schedule in date night. Yeah. You're not even thinking. You're just all of that is not being considered. It's actually, I was like, I'm so excited that you're having a wedding and we're going to go on this trip and all of that. I also really want a vacation.
I get it.
And that is not going to be vacation. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a good time.
And we are going to post and social and do all and drink.
I get it.
It's going to be phenomenal. I also really want to go back to Costa Rica where I went on my honeymoon because we didn't have internet and we just had to be.
Yeah. Like, I get it.
I want that world. So anyway, I don't know how we got here.
Me either,
Chum. But we went. We have to do a pop the trunk.
Do one. Pick one.
It has been too long, and we got to play one.
Pick one.
Joshy. Any, mini, mighty.
Okay, go for
can
it.
Can you? There's one that I really want to play.
but also this one specifically.
Because this just happened to me yesterday.
Okay, play it.
So pick okay. one, and it better be the one I want, Josh. It's not titled. I don't know how to tell you which one it is.
So real quick, I want to pop the trunk on people who always have to bag into a parking spot. Now, don't get me wrong. In some instances, it's completely convenient and necessary. You at an event, a function, a party, and it's real crowded. And whenever you're ready to go, you're ready to zoot it and boot it on up out of there. Trust me, I've been there. I get it. But baby, we at the dollar store. I'm not about to wait on you to turn your car 90 degrees this way, 90 degrees that way, whip it this way, bag it up, rewind, restart. I'm not about to do that. If you have to do all that, at least drop me off at the dough so I can get a head start on my shopping. And I guarantee you, by the time I'm done shopping and paying for my stuff, and walk out that door, you still gonna be drawing figure eights with your tires on the concrete. I'm not about to wait on you. I promise I'm not. I promise I'm not. But that's all I had to say.
Promise okay? I'm
love
not.
Love you, Liz. Love you, Mel.
That was great. Why did the why is backing into a parking spot the fanciest version of parking?
It absolutely is. No. Yes. If you are backing up, you absolutely think you're better than everyone else. You absolutely do. You have a superiority complex and you just want to show off. That's what you are. You're a show off. You're an unnecessary show off.
Tell it to your daddy. Because what's daddy, your daddy do?
And when daddy's a show off, and what's you're your daddy his do? C, because y'all are both show off.
Daddy taught me to back in and I back in. Let me tell you, one time I was like, this parking lot is crowded. I'm not going to back in. I'm going to pull into the spot. I never pull in. I suck at it. I hit a car.
But that's so wild. How can you see better backing in?
I'm just better at back. I can never judge the front of my car ever. I am terrible at judging the front of my car. I can back in though.
That is hysterical. That is so funny. That girl said, I'm not waiting for you.
Why she say you do a figure eight?
That's why. This is the thing. If you're going to be that person and you're going to back in, you need to do it in three.
Amen.
You need to do.
You got
to
be proficient adjust, at it.
Go yes. in. That's it.
Yes.
If you got to go out, come in, go out, come in, go. You don't know what you're doing.
Well.
You don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's what's her point. Baby, let me off at the dough. You figure out this parking situation. I'm going to get my little dollar, little groceries, and I'm going to come back out, and you still ain't going to have it figured out. Because what I'm not going to do is have you adjust 50-11-10.
Well, that's fair.
To go into the dollar store.
Okay. Okay. I mean, it's kind of fair. But also, back in.
No.
Because, listen, if your battery ever dies, you are screwed. That's why you have to back in.
They got the little things that you put the car under now that rolls it out.
For real?
They put it under the tires.
I didn't know they didn't came up on the jumper cable situation. Daddy said when I learned to drive, Daddy said if your battery ever dies and somebody has to come jump you when you are pulled in, good luck. Back in, they can always do the things.
First of all, call my dad because he never taught me this. I was the first child to learn to drive, okay? He never said these things to me.
Okay,
He never told me this. That's first of all. So I feel gypped and cheated on the safety tip.
I didn't know he didn't teach you. I didn't know that.
No,
he taught you how to change a tire.
Yeah, but I never learned that. I got AAA.
I never learned that either. Nick knows, apparently.
Did she?
I don't know how to do that.
Do you know how to drive a stick?
Absolutely. All of our cars, I know that.
Okay. Well, then what do I got? I don't have no things for just me.
Well, back in. Oh, I don't
know. No, you have back in. Nick has. What did you just say?
Change a tire.
Change a tire. What do I have for me, Daddy?
You're the first child. You got all the things.
No, apparently not.
All the things.
He saved all the secrets for y'all.
Lies.
Because what do I know?
All the things.
I don't have nothing. Oh I don't gosh. Have no things.
Dad's going to call you when he watches this.
Call
Hi, Dad.
BetterHelp.
Call BetterHelp.
No.
H-E-L-P.
No, Daddy. Listen, Daddy, I'm just playing. Because Daddy will be sitting there like.
Absolutely going to like, call you.
Hold on. Did I really not? Hold on, Melissa. I'm Dad. Sorry.
Speakpipe.com/GJ. pop the trunk on Melissa next week.
I was going to say something else about it, but that's it. All right. Well, Thank you for this therapeutic time on Gin and Juice episode.
We ain't talking about My Beverly Hills. We ain't talking about none of this stuff. We had all these Pop the Trunks ready. Next week, full Pop the Trunk episode.
I'm with it.
Full Pop the Trunk. So don't have no here. Don't
so
have.
So tell the people where to go to get it again. SpeakPipe.
SpeakPipe.com/GJ. Leave your Pop the Trunks. We're doing a full Pop the Trunk episode.
I'm with it, man.
I'm not going to have no long story shorts or TVs. So nothing better, nothing good better come out. All right.
Boom. Bye.